Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 37 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today, we're airing a syndication of our live show from Sunday, September 15th, 2019. We'd love to have you join us on the next live. They go on every Sunday night on Facebook and YouTube. Just look for the My DVC Points page or channel. I'd also like to thank Vacation Club Loans for sponsoring today's show. If you're looking to get a new contract, direct or resale, contact Debbie over at Vacation Club Loans for some competitive interest rates. She also does refis to help save people money. And if your contract's paid out and cash is running a little tight, you can talk to her about a cash out refi as well. Be sure to let Debbie or the team over at DVC Resale Market know you've heard about them here on the My DVC Points podcast.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Ohio, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Town,
Old Key West,
Lavia,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Milton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Papa Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to my DVC Points.
Welcome home, everybody, to My DVC Points Live. This is our second show of season two of this, and I'd like to welcome to the show today Russ and Shannon. How are you guys doing?
Hi. Good.
Hey, so we've got a really cool, fun agenda today, and there's some really big news that hit this week, and I think we'll spend most of our time there. But to just throw the agenda back up, today we want to talk about Enchanted Rose at Grand Floridian, kind of get everybody's thoughts on that one. And Shannon, you've got a Disney on Ice experience to update us on. Some gondolas. They opened up for cast member previews and cast member testing this week. And then the big story of the week, the 100-point direct minimum for membership extras. And then I found a really cool post on Russ's site. And Russ and I have been having this conversation back and forth about Facebook versus his forums. And he kind of made his point with this post. We'll save that coming up, though. And then last but not least, our friend Aaron over at the Disney Indie Meet. If you've paid attention to the podcast this week and the live last week, we hope to see you there. We hope to see you guys buying some fun tickets and raffles and things along those lines. Let's go ahead and kick this off with the Enchanted Rose story. What are you guys' thoughts? It looks like the Meisner's Lounge? I've been there once or twice.
I think it was Meisner's. I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably why they're yanking it and pulling it out. Okay. Because I don't remember it either. But it was the Meisner's Lounge. It was on the second floor of the Grand Flow. Upstairs, kind of a formal deal. Well, it's been down a while and it's coming back as a Beauty and the Beast themed.
I think it looks great. I do understand the argument that there's, you know, they're kind of throwing IPs here and there and almost too much, but I like it. I didn't think Meisner's was themed very much. I, like you said, I may have just passed by. Don't think I ever had anything there, but I like it. The menu from what I've seen looks great. So I like the theme. I like that it's based off the live action Beauty and the Beast. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, Russ, did you have any experience with it as well or anybody listening?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you guys where, like, you almost didn't know it was there. And I think for folks that were sort of long-term fans of Grand Floridian or owners at Villas of Grand Floridian, they really liked having sort of their secret place that no one else knew about. But it was a secret and nobody else knew about it.
Right.
And it wasn't a destination that you would come and see. This new one, there's a lot of interest. People saying, yeah, I want to go check it out. So I think the resistance to it is really the people that are like, hey, you spoiled my nice quiet place. And now people are going to want to go there. But you know, that's probably a good thing, especially since they're expanding.
It is.
Well,
I mean,
kind of like with Artist Point, where you could always get a reservation there. And now you can't. I mean, you just, since it's been the Storybook Dining, and that's almost going on a year now. So they have to fill those spaces. So it makes sense.
Yeah. It's very similar because folks that are long Wilderness Lodge fans also
yeah.
like that they could just stroll in and get a seat. That's not, you know, fewer people are enjoying it. So
we have a trip in December and that's the only reservation I wasn't able to get was for Artist Point. So,
yeah, I mean, last time I was there was in February and it was when Pat and Shelby and I did our drinking around the monorail tour.
Right.
And I remember those guys had an old fashioned there and they said it was really, really, really really a great drink, and they did it very well there. So that's about my only experience there. was
at the lounge there. Or at the restaurant there.
It was at the lounge.
Okay. Yeah, the lounge is easier to get in, and they will serve food there as well. So, I mean, for folks that did enjoy that experience in the past at Wilderness Lodge, they can still do that.
Cool.
But
yeah,
so,
I think it looks great at the Enchanted Rose. I think it looks fantastic. I guess it's based off the library, right, for Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, there's a library, and they're going to have some kind of an outdoor, according to the article on Disney Parks blog. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to that.
They're basically expanding to the south of Magic Kingdom, sort of adjacent to where the old lounge was, to have an outdoor space. So it's going to be much larger. And really, the theming is very subtle. I mean, they almost didn't even need to call it Beauty and the Beast. So I don't think people will be too disappointed that are sort of offended by theming in a Grand Floridian lounge.
Very good. Shannon, you have an update from today, correct?
Yeah, just a couple hours ago, about 4 hours ago, we went to the Disney on Ice brand new show called Road Trip Adventures. It actually debuted last week in Orlando. I'm in South Florida. We went to the last showing in Sunrise. It's going to be in Miami next weekend. We got to be part of, we were VIPs and got to do a meet and greet with Mickey and Moana before the show. And had front row seats and really had a great time. And my son absolutely loved it. The ending was the song Get Your Ears On that they've been playing in the parks since for Mickey's birthday.
Oh, okay.
And he loves that song. So he was dancing and Mickey came over and gave him a high five. So it was a great time. Great show. My favorite, if anybody ever goes to Disney on Ice, my favorite show has been the Mickey Search Party, which was the one that we saw last year. That one is phenomenal. If it comes to your town, go and see it. This one is Road Trip Adventures. It's very good, but it's not, for us, it wasn't as good as the Mickey Search Party. But it was interesting because talking about IPs, the show opened with Mary Poppins Returns, and it had The Lion King and Aladdin. Toy Story 4. So it was definitely a theme of all the movies that came out this past year, and especially with Aladdin.
They are working those Blu-ray and DVD sales, man.
They really were. And there was a lot of screens. And for Aladdin, it was the live action version because they had Will Smith as the genie on screens and not the song from Robin Williams. So, you know, that was different. I mean, it was still great. But, you know, it was not the Aladdin that I grew up with. And my son hasn't seen the live action version yet. So, but it was very good. It was very well done. A lot of acrobatics and a really, really great show.
Gotcha. Now I'm going to roll some pictures you sent over. Okay.
Okay.
And let's do this one first. This is a dual one. So
that's the meet and greet. I saw a picture of Mickey last week. So I Disney bound, I guess, my son. And I don't sew, so that's actually a lot of tape on his jacket to make it look like Mickey's. I was able to get everything else. And then that's him wayfinding with Moana before the show. So he was having a really fun time with that before the show and getting to do that little meet and greet with them.
Oh, that is awesome. Because I saw that picture and I was like, you know, I'm not even going to ask in pre-show. I'm just going to wait till the show to go, how the heck did you get matching outfits for Mickey? Okay.
Yeah, I do a lot of, you know, dressing up my son. He's getting to the point where he's like, no, mommy, I don't want to be that. Like for right now for Halloween, we're going to be Ghostbusters. So I'm trying to get something Disney related, but it's not looking good. But I do a lot of dressing up. So, or dressing him up. I was able to put that together in the last couple of days. So it wasn't too hard. Thank God for Amazon Prime.
Got it. And then we've got this picture here. This one is the high five.
Yeah, that's the high five at the finale. Mickey came over. Mickey saw him and noticed that he was in the outfit that matched and came over and had a couple times throughout the show kind of pointed him out. And then at the end of the show, called him over and gave him a high five. And I was able to get it on film. So that was a really special moment. And you can see our seats were pretty amazing because we were literally front row and center.
Oh, good deal. Good deal. And then we've got this photo as well, right?
Yep, that's my hubby. You don't really get to see him too much because usually it's pictures of me and my son, but he's usually the one taking them. But we got the right before the show where we were taking pictures and, you know, one of the perks of being Mrs. Florida is you get to do some fun stuff. So,
gotcha. So this was somewhat of a work event.
I wouldn't say work event, but probably a Mrs. Florida perk, I would say.
Either way. Okay. Okay. So that's really cool. And now, Russ, you had a really good post, and it either went up this week or today. It was all about the gondolas open for the cast members.
Yeah, so it looks like the cast members are now doing test rides in their after hours. And we had some, you know, folks in the forum community take some snapshots of the signs and people going overhead. So that was fun. So they'll be the guinea pigs. If you're wondering who's going to be the test riders, it'll be just cast members.
Yeah, and in that link, there's Passport to the Parks. I mean, this guy did like an hour plus long stream of that whole event today or whenever this thing was. And I was like, wow, dude, like an hour 45. But I started watching it and he was talking with the audience and interacting and answering questions. So I didn't watch the whole thing because it was a little boring not being there live. Okay. Or not being able to have my question answered. But it was really cool to come back in and see that. And it looked like people were coming back in, getting on and off. Things were running very, very smooth, like you would expect from a Disney attraction. Let's call this thing what it is. I think it's an attraction. It's a ride like anything else. It's
well, we're staying cash next month at Pop Century. And one of the reasons why we're staying at Pop Century is so that we can go on the Skyliner.
Yeah, so. I think a lot of people are doing that. I know my October trip, we were scheduled to be at All-Stars, and then we looked and they hadn't quite raised the rates that much. So It was like $10 or $15 more a night to go over to Pop. And so we moved over to Pop. Just no hands down, no questions, just move over to Pop because we wanted the Skyliners.
So I am part of another Facebook group, and there was a cast member that did get to ride it. And one of the questions asked was, is it a sauna in the sky? And he said, no, he said the ventilation was very cool. He went in the middle of the day. It was very well ventilated. They did stop a couple times and it did get warm, but not to the point where he was sweating. So that's good to know, especially since, you know, it's September, it's hot. And I think that's always what everybody was concerned about when it was finally revealed that there was definitely not going to be AC. Everybody thought, you know, what the heck are they thinking? There's going to be saunas in the sky. So
fingers crossed we don't scorch in that one. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. I have faith in Disney. Okay.
I can't imagine that Disney would have put that much money into something like that and not have done the research as far as knowing of whether or not these are going to be that hot. So I'm sure that the ventilation is good.
Yeah. My faith is in them. Russ, what's your take on the Skyliners?
Yeah, I think the ventilation will be fine while it's moving. It's designed to be constantly moving and not have to stop. So I think it'll be fine. I think in extraordinary situations where you have high wind and they have to stop for safety reasons, then people, if something upstream causes a delay, you know, that's when people are going to start to, you know, freak out a little bit if it's like a 10-minute delay and they're stuck up there.
That could get a little bit unnerving. I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but it seems like they can clean them off of those lines. I mean, you know, you're only what, 5-6 minutes from one destination to the other there?
I think it's what, 15 minutes total from Epcot International Gateway to Disney's Hollywood Studios. If that's the case, I mean, I'll take that over a bus any day.
Yeah. If you know, but in that time frame, you've got a stop at Riviera and a stop at Caribbean Beach. So If things get ugly, you could get off at one of those two resorts.
True.
So I'm not thinking it's going to be that big a deal. I think it's, you know, my big wish for the gondola system is they would have connected it to more resorts, Put it over to Typhoon Lagoon and Disney Springs and Saratoga and Old Key West.
I think that's
the plan eventually. Yeah. I think they wanted to make sure it's a success first before. I'm sure there's probably phases 2, 3, and 4.
I'd love
to see this from Animal Kingdom Lodge to Animal Kingdom. I think that would be awesome too.
I agree, because they've had plans for even extending the monorail all the way to Disney Springs, and those never came to fruition. So I think this is their test flight of, you know, can we use something other than a monorail to expand transportation at Disney World? And if this is successful, they'll expand it to, you know, Disney Springs, Animal Kingdom, places that aren't currently connected.
Yeah, and Alicia is home tonight with slow internet, and she did ask a really good question. And do you have to show that you're staying on property to take the ride? I don't imagine you do, because a park hopping ticket between Epcot and Hollywood would be a park hopping ticket. And you're just getting transportation for park hopping. And they've never really checked for tickets on buses, or they've never checked for tickets on or on property for the monorail. I'm not thinking that it's going to be that way, but it's.
I could see in the beginning, maybe when it's the first initial where they want to make sure that the guests at those resorts, but that's, I wouldn't think long-term.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have to wait and see on that one. Russ, let's move into the big issue this week. If I remember correctly, you were one of the first people that broke this story with the rumor that we were getting a 100-point direct minimum increase coming.
Yeah, DVC News actually posted that. So, and then I confirmed that with the DVC cast member. So earlier this week, and then it broke at the end of the week that it was confirmed on WDWNT. So,
Tim at DVC News, is in his last article, he has actual language that's cut and paste, and he says it's from their website. Mm-hmm. I did some digging around down there today, and I still found the old language. If what he has is going to be propagated throughout everything, it sounds like, again, it'll be just like last time. And if you have your direct benefits with 75, you're grandfathered in. But anybody new coming back in is going to have to acquire up to 100 points direct in order to unlock the benefit.
Correct. And and it really is as of, two things. One, it's tied to your contract. So it depends on when you purchased a resale contract, what benefits you will or won't have. And then two, that's it's sort of grandfathered as of when you own that contract. So I'm posting a link here that about halfway down has the decoder ring of when you bought a resale contract and what benefits you have and what the minimum direct purchase is. Because as of 2016, there's no minimum direct purchase. So if you just had resale, you had Magic Extended Benefits, membership Magic, I should say. And then in 2018, they bumped that up to you had to have some level of resale, which at the time, 25 points was the minimum add-on. So 25 was implicitly the minimum, and then they just bumped that up to 75 and now 100.
Yeah, and it's important to note here, because once it was at 25, and that's when I bought my Copper Creek and my Poly add-ons direct, and I had those issued in 50-point contracts just for exit strategy, resale, and giving them to my kids' purpose. Because I'm looking at several other resale contracts, and I wanted to be able to just hand my kids, hey, look, when you take over a contract, you can have a 50-pointer and you'll be a direct member. And my guide confirmed, yes, that will be the case. Even though it's 75 now, when you bought these contracts, they were 50. And as long as it's a gratuitous gift, you'll be able to give your kids this 50 and they'll get all the benefits of being a direct member.
Right. So it's tied to the contract. So if you had a resale contract prior to 2016, that is grandfathered in. So you don't want to get rid of those. And you could gift those to your children. If you sell one of those and you think, oh, well, hey, I was a DVC member going back, 15 years, I should be grandfathered in. Well, if you sold all of your contracts prior to that and then bought new ones, you're now under the new rules. So you got to be careful what you sell and buy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a wonderful strategy, because when I first bought in, 25 was the minimum. And that's what I did. I bought a ton of resale points and then went and got the minimum direct to unlock the benefits. To me, that was just, I can have my cake and eat it too, because at that point in time, the points were so strong and you could go anywhere and do anything with the points.
Well, I thought with the jump from 25 to 75 was bigger, because that was triple. It literally tripled people that were planning on buying 25. Going to 75, now that investment was going to be triple. This one, I don't feel is that bad. It's just another 25. I mean, obviously it's more of an investment and more money that you'd have to spend if you want to get those direct benefits and you are already a resale owner. But I don't feel it's as bad as that last jump. That was, I guess, what was it, January of 2018?
Right.
Yeah, 2018. So.
But now
I thought that one was worse.
Now you're looking at almost 20 grand if you buy the active property and you pay the 188. If you buy an older property, maybe you can get it down to 665 a point, I'm seeing in some of them. to get the benefits, but you're writing to buy the latest like Riviera, it's about a $20,000 decision to unlock these benefits.
But I also think it's kind of what we talked about last week, where 75 points at Riviera isn't going to get you very far. And I think with going forward, it seems that the point charts for DVC are going to be on this higher end. I don't think we're going to see the old Key West, the Saratoga Springs anymore, where, you know, a week, I think I'm spending 8 nights in a one bedroom is 178 points is what we're spending in December. So 178 points is going to get me maybe a studio for the same amount of time at Riviera. So 75 points isn't going to get you very far. I don't know how much more 100 is going to get you, but it is going to get you a little further as far as more of a vacation time. So
I think that was a great point that you picked up, because we just last week we started talking about this ratio of direct to this. And I was saying, hey, guys, look, you probably need more than 75 if you're going to come back in and start to go to Riviera, any of the other new resorts through banking and borrowing. Almost like they listened to our conversation and made the announcement.
Yeah, and as far as cost justifying this, I mean, it's really the difference between resale and direct that you're, you know, is the delta. So like if you look at Saratoga Springs, you know, it's resale is 100, direct is 160. So it's really a 60 point, you know, per point times 75 is your sort of buy-in cost to get the benefits. That's, you know, 4,500, not the 20 plus thousand that you quoted earlier. So it's really look at what you're buying resale, look at the difference direct, subtract the two times 75, and then say, okay, what's the value? If you're looking at a gold DVC AP versus a platinum annual pass, if you're not a Florida resident, that's a huge difference. You know, you're talking 200 plus per person per year. So a family of four could easily save, you know, $800 a year that they buy those DVC gold APs. So you'll break even in 5 years if you look at it that way. But if you're not buying annual
pass, when I did the math, it was like two, maybe three sets of annual passes at the most before, you know, at 25 before I could break even.
That you're buying a gold annual pass. Some people buy platinum even as a DVC member, and then the savings is less. But you can't even buy a gold annual pass unless you're a Florida resident or DVC member. So yeah, that's really the huge savings. That's what we did. We had gold annual pass for a good, you know, 3-4 years with DVC since we were DVC members.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm a Florida resident. So I get the gold and my family gets the silver. Right now we all have the gold, but most likely when we go to renew, only I will get the gold, because we don't go during those blackout periods. We rarely go in the summer. So we don't really even use that, but there's something about being a blue card member and the Moonlight Magic. We've used the lounge several times in Epcot. It's been fantastic, especially with a toddler and it's hot, food and wine, having that lounge at Epcot. I wish they had it at every park, because that lounge is amazing, especially when you have a toddler and you just kind of need a break. And so those are probably the two benefits that we used, but the Moonlight Magic for us was worth it.
I was going to say, as a Florida resident, you guys should be popping over there quite regularly. At least I would be if I was 3 hours away for a Moonlight Magic.
You know, it's hard because the Moonlight, well, my husband works midnights and it's hard for him to get time off. He's a police officer, so it's hard. And then the Moonlight Magics tend to be during the week, so they're not that easy for us to get to. The one that we went to in May, we were in town already for that weekend, and we just extended our trip by one night. So we were able to go, and then we went to one in December, I think it was 2017, where it overlapped with our existing trip. So if we can get there and it's easy, you know, we do, but we haven't really made an effort to go, except we extended the day for one time, and it was great. It was worth it. But I don't think we'd make a trip just to go, but it's still a great party.
Yeah. And I was gonna mention the same thing. You know, the annual pass is really great for non-Florida residents, the discount. For Florida residents, the ability to go to multiple Moonlight Magics. As someone who doesn't live in Florida, you're lucky if you get to go to one. It just happens to line up. And for us, it usually doesn't. So for Florida, maybe you at least get to go to one, or maybe more than one. So that's sort of the icing on the cake for those.
And it's hard to get in if you don't have a reservation. So that's another thing, is if you're not staying.
it varies, like Typhoon.
You know, if you're not, you don't already have a trip planned. Yeah, we went to Epcot and that one was really hard to get into.
Lauren brings up a good point here, saying maybe they're trying to thin out the crowds at the events, aka Moonlight Magics. And I don't know. I mean, it's what do you think, Russ?
I don't think so, because they're hard to get in.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to make it a higher investment for people to be able to get in.
I think it's really, I think it's really just to sort of make the decision to buy direct easier. So by having a, you know, a higher bar for people that buy resale to have to still buy indirect, then it makes that first decision easy. So when people come in and say, well, what about resale? Why don't I just go buy resale? They'll say, well, you'll still have to buy 100 points direct. So why not just do that today? And it's a pretty good argument.
Speaking of that argument, right?
So instead of saying buy resale and then add on, it's almost buy direct and then add on resale. Right. Yeah.
And most people find out about direct first, and then, you know, maybe they go home and do the research, and then they go back to their guide and say, well, I'd really like to buy now, but financially it makes more sense to buy resale. Now they'll be able to come back and say, well, you know, you're not going to get these direct benefits, so you might as well buy your first contract.
That makes sense.
Then buy resale. You know, we're all for that. Go for it. But let's go ahead and do this one first.
And speaking of that, Russ, I'm wondering why they don't just kick this up to like 125. And here's the reason why I say 125. Because if you're at 125 and you're looking at this shiny new Riviera resort and you're saying, okay, now the minimum is 125, but when you sit down for that sales presentation here at 185, we have the breakpoints coming in and we're starting to give you the incentives on this. It's going, hey, we know 125 isn't going to be enough for people if they're staying in a one bedroom or higher. I'm almost wondering why they don't just come back in and put it at that middle ground so that they can easily just come back in and tip the scales on up to buy more at the 185 or 175 or 160, wherever the bar has been for the incentives.
Yeah. I mean, it's your old fashioned supply demand curve. There's going to be more people that want to buy in at a lower price. So DVC, I think, is an aspirational luxury, and people buy what they can afford early on and assume they're going to bank and borrow, you know, so you can combine 3 years to sort of book one stay and then book the other stays cash or offsite. And then over time, they buy more as they can afford it. So I think DVC wants to be careful not to make this too much out of reach for everybody. So I think 100 is probably a good spot for that.
100 points still, when you look at those point charts over there, I'm just coming back over here to some of the comments as well. Elisa says that she's hoping they'll increase the perks with the increasing minimums.
I think we all hope that, but I don't.
I don't know. Those Moonlight parties are expensive. They drop over $500,000 per event.
And I think people think that they're free, but they're not. I mean,
they're not free.
It's a marketing tool.
Yeah, it's a marketing tool to get us talking about how cool DVC is, which, okay, you didn't have to work too hard to get that one done. Just reel me in, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and one thing too to mention on the 100 points. So the minimum purchase for for most DVC resorts for new members is 100 points. The only exception is Saratoga and Old Key West at 50 points and Hilton Head and Vero Beach at 75 points. So by putting it at 100, they're sort of steering people away from those lower point resorts, getting them towards Riviera and saying, okay, you're going to have to buy 100 points anyways to get Riviera or any of the other resorts other than Old Key West and Saratoga. So you might as well buy direct again with that first purchase of whichever resort you want to buy.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean,
the numbers match now.
I can tell you this. I don't care if it is 100. I don't care if it's 125. I still like having my blue card. I love that AP discount. I love the merch discounts. I love the other discounts. And I love the Moonlight Magic parties and that kind of fun stuff. So I was all in if it took 125. I don't really care, okay? Because 125 points isn't enough for me, and I look at it, I will make that back up over time eventually. It's just going to take more time.
Yeah, the one thing to point out, though, is if you're going more than once a year, you're probably an annual pass holder. You also get those same, you know, dining discounts and shopping discounts for the most part.
But not in Disneyland. So I did use the DVC discount in Disneyland because you don't get, obviously, I wasn't an AP there.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
And it's pretty minimal there. I think it's like 10% off or something and it's not everything. It's pretty limited there. I rely on our buddy Micah's site over at mouseperks.com just extensively to come back in and tell me what has a discount and where. That is just
which one's best. Because they're usually different for all three, well, four if you count the Visa card. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Fables in Wonderland, Visa, DVC, AP are the four.
What do you guys think in the audience? I mean, is the blue card worth it? What's your take out there? We're a member community driven show, and it's not just our opinions that matter, but what do you guys think? We're curious as to know. Maybe we'll put up a poll there on the page or something along those lines to ask, is the blue card really, really, truly worth it to you guys? And
Lauren thinks so.
Yeah, Lauren comes back in. The blue card status is worth the money. So just the status of having the blue card member.
Yeah, that's what DVC wants. That's you're singing their praises. So.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of resale and can't thank, you know, DVC Resale Market for sponsoring our shows the way that they do, and even Vacation Club Loans for sponsoring the shows. I'm a huge fan of saving money if you're going to finance. And I know Debbie can help people do that. And this comment has to come up. Ray says it's worth it because it made my wife happy.
Yep.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
That would be my husband.
I think it's one of those things that you're going to do eventually. If you're going to go again, if you're going more than once a year to Disney, you're eventually going to add on. You're eventually going to want those benefits. So it's one of those things you just got to justify doing it right off the bat versus doing it later when the minimum buy-in may be higher.
That's what I was just going to say, because if you don't, they keep tweaking it up higher and higher and higher. So yeah, if you just decide to buy resale now and direct later, you're running the risk that the minimum might be $150.
Yeah, that's just it.
And with Riviera specifically, I think it's a great strategy to buy direct first, because those resale points are going to be devalued. We all know that, since you can't access the 14 existing resorts. So it's like, hey, buy that 100 up front and then buy a resale contract at 200 or 300 down the road, resale, and you can combine them all and stay at Riviera. So you'll still have the perks and you'll be able to buy a whole lot more points down the road.
Eric asks a really great question here, because sometimes we assume as long-term DVC members that are just dyed in the wool here that we know what this is. And he asked the question, what does a blue card add? And blue card is what you get when you purchase the minimum from Disney Direct. It's a physical blue card that comes, you can order it, or you can use the digital version. But the blue card is what says, you're a DVC member and you can do all of the membership extra events, such as Shannon pointed out, you can get into Epcot up to the lounge there. You can go into Reunion Station. You can buy all the membership extras that they sell, like Painting with a View. That's only available to direct card people. You can use it for 20% off merchandise at Walt Disney World. And it's 10% off at some restaurants. Again, our buddy Micah over at mouseperks.com is where I go to chart all of that out. He does a phenomenal job laying that out. And so the Moonlight Magic events, you have to have a blue card to get into there.
The member lounge.
Yeah, the member lounge. It's just the list goes on and on. DVC is trying to come back in and use all of these little tiny extras and perks to say, hey, look, if you buy your membership from us, as opposed to an existing member through the resale market, we'll give you all of these added benefits and bonuses. So that's where this whole debate comes back into. And it's been, like Russ highlighted in the beginning, it used to be, okay, I'll go buy everything resale and then tack on a 25 point direct. And now I get my blue card and I unlock the benefits. And then they got wise to that game and said, well, we're going to make it 75. And now, starting next week, it's going up to 100.
Lauren mentioned the discount at the spa over the summer. It was a 40%, I think.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah, that was huge. That was huge. I don't know if it's still being offered, but I know it was over the summer.
Yeah, and they had a couple 20% dining discounts as well at some of the new Disney Springs resorts, which normally it's in that 5 to 10% range. And then I don't know if you mentioned the annual pass, but that's the big one. So if you're wanting to buy a gold, discounted gold AP versus a full platinum, that's, you know, that's almost $200 a person per year. in your party.
It was several hundred dollars. I mean, several hundred dollars that we saved, like $200 a person or more times five members of my household.
Yeah.
That's like $1,000 a year in annual passes. That's where it comes back in. Like Marianne says that there's a great golf discount too. Zach asked the questions, does top of the world require a blue card or just staying on points? It's just staying on points or on property as a DVC member. You can be staying
cash. Except I think the special events they have, I think you have to be a blue card member. Those, that July 4th.
Correct.
And the one, those, so those are blue card events because those are very limited. I think it was like 75 people. But
and you have to pay to get in those as well.
Well, right, right.
Yeah, and I think so. It's July 3rd and 4th and December 30th and 31st. It's only people staying at BLT, I think, actually, not just.
No, this. Now there's a part. It's a party on the not on the 3rd, but they had a private party on July 4th.
Right.
And so, it was 75 people. And I think it was $99 per person. And that you had to be a blue card member. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, but there's. There, what you're saying, there's 2 days on each of those holidays, and on the day that's not the main holiday, so like the 30th,
right,
the 3rd, I think you still have to not only be DVC, but actually be staying there. And then on the 4th and on the 31st, which is the events, then you have to, you know, be a gold a card member and pay money,
right,
to go to those.
Which but is and again, I think it's just, it's also just, it's kind of fun to just be able to go to those events and to feel like a full fledged member. I think if I didn't have the opportunity to go to Moonlight Magic or do those extra events, I don't know if I would feel less of a member, but I would feel like I'm missing out. And I don't partake. There's really no discounts except for the ones that the small ones I got in Disneyland. There's really no discounts that we use because we are Florida residents. So I'm looking at those membership perks like Moonlight Magic, the lounge, and for us, it's worth it.
Yeah. Mary brings up a really good point here. And Shannon, you alluded to this earlier. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I'm glad I brought our third contract resale. It saved me money. And you brought up earlier, and Russ did as well, about somewhat of flipping the script here. Because when I bought in, it seemed like the wisest thing to do was to come back in and find the resale contracts that worked for you, buy those, and then tack on a 25-point card to match your use year. And that seemed to be the most frugal method, and that was the script that people were following. And now I think with it going up to 75...
You mean to 100.
What's that?
Going up to 100.
Well, it went up to 75, and then it went up to 100, right? But I think... To Russ's point, they could be trying to flip the script that says, hey, just come back in and buy direct first.
And the only reason what you described was possible is because the minimum buy-in for a resale, well, the minimum buy-in for an existing DVC member, whether you resale or direct, was 25 points, whereas the minimum buy-in for a brand new member was always 100 points. So now they're matching that 100 with the minimum to get perks. So you don't walk out the door during that first discussion with your guide.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Eric brings up another good point. A direct benefit is we can buy the Tables in Wonderland card without an annual pass. I think that if
one, go ahead. That one's been a little dicey though. Some people have been able to get it with resale. It's not officially, I think, in or out. I think it depends on who you talk to at the guest services.
Yeah, their systems might not lock it down, but the black and white policy says it's a membership extra perk. Now, whether the cast members screwed that up, who knows? I'm not going to argue that people go out and do that, right?
Eric asks if Tables in Wonderland is worth it. We have it. We think it's worth it. We go several times a year, and we do, especially in December, we do our long trip in December. And because of the 13 months of when you get the Tables in Wonderland, it'll cover two of those trips. And that's when we do a lot of our dining, sit-down dining. And for us, we easily get that back.
So absolutely.
We did it for the first time last December, and we've definitely seen a return in it.
If you do any of the huge character dinings with a big party, such as Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, Cinderella's Royal Table, Crystal Palace, you start talking 20% off of those venues because they include gratuity in there. And what happens is that's just a pure 20% off.
And we love Nomad Lounge at Animal Kingdom, and the only thing they accept is Tables in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah, and it's $150 and 20% discount, so you break even at $750. And if you're going more than once a year, again, just like annual passes, then it makes 100% sense. And there's also some quick service places at Animal Kingdom and then also Saratoga Springs quick service. So those are well worth it.
Yep, and Kevin is saying that he bought tables in Wonderland, truly enjoy it. Yeah, Marianne has this great comment here. Last June during a hard rainstorm, that Epcot lounge became my favorite blue card perk. Yeah, those are some of the conversations and what's going on here. Again, just to wrap this thing up, I don't care if it's 125 or 150. I would say if you're going to use those points, do it and then tack the rest on resale. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, buy enough direct to get the resort stay that you want every third year in case you want some of the new resorts. If you were to get up to the 200 range or start looking at those breakpoints, start to see when DVC starts to discount it, that's where you've got my attention. I'm going to circle in on that deal, figure out where I want to stay, how many I need, and probably go about 40% of it, just like I said last week. So that's kind of my take. Big fan of the blue card, big fan of resale as well. So I always like supplementing with resale. So, Russ, what's your final thoughts on this comment?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're a value buyer and you're buying resale because you want to save money, I'd say buy Saratoga direct at that 100-point buy-in because your difference is $60 a point. So you're looking at 4,500 difference for those 100 points. Buy the rest of your Saratoga points resale, and you'll break even on that 4,500 with just annual passes alone in 5 years, not to mention tables in Wonderland and dining and merchandise and the perks of the Moonlight Magic. And then if on the flip side, if you're buying DRR direct, I'd still recommend the 100 and then buy DRR resale down the road.
Perfect. Shannon, what's your thoughts on it?
The same. I think the blue card's worth it. And like we were just talking about, where I do think that it's flipped, where you no longer don't recommend buying resale first and then going and adding on points, is buy that first contract. And then if you want to add on, but I think it's important to add to buy enough points for what you said, stay every 2 to 3 years, because the concern is I think there's people that are not buying enough to get, or thinking they're going to get, you know, all this time in a tower studio and there's only 20 of them.
Not happening.
Yeah, exactly. So
like all the values at Animal Kingdom.
Exactly. So it's making sure that you and then buy. I didn't, when I first got in, I had heard buy where you want to stay, but at that point, just being on Disney property is, you know, my theory was, as long as you're on Disney property, mm-hmm. I'm happy. And that's still true. But as an owner of Saratoga, I wish I had bought, you know, more closely at Boardwalk or Beach Club, because we really, really love those resorts, especially Boardwalk. And I think I probably would have done things differently in hindsight, because now it's just impossible to get there. We have gotten in Boardwalk on a wait list, but you know, I think that's more of a fluke than what we would normally happen. Like, we've tried to get in December and it's just never going to happen. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like trying to get in Wilderness Lodge in December. If you don't own there, it's pretty dang difficult, because that is a peak time for the owners there. So
even in a one bedroom.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, especially the standard. The boardwalk pool are a little easier just because there's more of them.
Yep.
Right.
Very good. And Scott asked a really good question that I am going to kick down the road to next week, because we're kind of pushing the time. And I think it's another hot topic here in the DVC community. You think DVC will ever make resale limit so that you have to stay at the property you bought? And we will pick that one up next week, guys. I promise you that, but that's a great conversation and a great topic and all kinds of controversy. I mean, people are this one's just surrounded with shark infested water. So we'll stick our toes into it next week. How does that sound? Okay. Transitioning here. Russ, you and I have been having this ongoing conversation for a while now about the value of a Facebook community group versus a real forum group. Okay. Russ, why don't you give me your kind of rundown here on this? Because I found an article that kind of backs your argument up this week.
Yeah, so I mean, I've been very active in both for several years, and before being the owner of DBC Info, where we have one of the largest DBC communities forums online. So, I mean, my thoughts are Facebook groups are great for, you know, these fast sort of news blurbs. My experience has been people don't even click the article and read them; they just read the headline and they form an opinion, pro or con, and then post a comment, or they like it or don't like it. So it's very transactional. It's, you know, very much a flash in the pan and, you know, sort of drive by, commenting on it. So forums are much different. There, you know, you have a consistent set of people that are sort of your active members. And a lot of those are experienced, you know, they've been in DBC since the beginning or they've for a long time and have a lot of, experience to share. There's also a lot of new members as well that are trying to learn from that experience. So it's a good sort of longer conversation, not just the flash in the pan news flash, and then you're on to the next thing. So, you know, there's a lot of these debates like we're talking about right now with the points and strategies and new resorts and things like that.
Yeah. And it's a continued ongoing topic. Well, I found a post on your site this week and it really caught my attention and I started reading it. And then I went back and I realized this thing was started in 2017. Mm-hmm. And a DVC member had posted that her daughter started dating this guy when she was in the college program at Disney. 4 years later, they're still dating and he takes her to Disney and does an engagement proposal. And so there's all these really cool comments. And, you know, I was shocked that some of the really fun comments on there were like, you know, you're so lucky that your son-in-law is also a Disney fan because... I can imagine that if you had a divided family of, I don't want to keep going to Disney, right? Yeah. As members, we want to, but it really, I read that article and it was fun because they kept posting on it. And we saw from the engagement photos all the way up to the bridal shower that's happened in like, early, I think a couple months ago, earlier this summer. And so I'm sure that thread will keep living with some wedding photos and everything else. And it really does. It made your point that your forums are a really great conversation and it's an ongoing topic because if once you comment, you'll get notified that somebody else commented on there as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's great. And it's, you know, also the multi-generational piece to be able to see, you know, someone with their grandkids now, you know, enjoying Disney and then eventually, or sorry, with their children and then eventually their grandkids and so on and so forth and great grandkids. So it's fun to have those, you know, familiar faces that you know and, you know, sort of follow their stories and get their perspectives and so some of those other pieces like the multi-generational pieces that you just don't see, you know, like in a Facebook group.
Yeah, very cool. And so just as a reminder, I don't know if I could yell this, preach this any louder, right? I did two podcast episodes on it this week. If you live within distance of the Indianapolis, Indiana, please show up to the Disney Indie Meet. There's links out there on my website. If you go to mydvcpoints.com/036, episode 36 has links to the fundraiser for Give Kids the World and fundraisers where you can buy those raffle tickets to the trip. I can't quote Aaron, but it didn't sound like they sold a million tickets. So your chances of winning that all expense paid trip to Disney or almost all expense paid trip to Disney is pretty darn good. Better than one in a million. We can say that. Right. And so it's a phenomenal cause, a phenomenal organization. I hope everybody goes and supports that this week. Give Kids the World, Magical Wishes for Kids, MWFK.org. I can never remember that as well.
Or just go to Indie Disney Meet Facebook group and they'll probably have all the links there.
Yep, either one. But so that's what I've got to wrap up this week. And Russ, I'm going to, where can people follow up with you at?
Just dvcinfo.com. I posted a link to the forum as well that we have there in addition to the informational pages when you first hit the site.
Perfect.
And I'll be at the Indie Disney Meet as well, just hanging out with Chad or walking around.
Yeah, so we look forward to meeting everybody that we possibly can. And Shannon, what about you?
So I am at DisneyDays.com and a quick announcement. So tomorrow I will be doing a raffle and I have it right here. Oops, there we go. So this is a Mouseketeer Loungefly. Retails, I think it says $75. So I'll be raffling this giveaway tomorrow. It'll be announced on my blog, and we'll post the link on the My DVC Points Facebook page. And one of the things will be to subscribe to the My DVC Points YouTube channel and a couple other things, but it'll all be in my blog post tomorrow, probably around noon. And I'll post the link on Facebook. So if you're interested in winning a nice Mouseketeer Lounge 5 backpack, visit my blog tomorrow sometime or the My DVC Points Facebook group, and we'll share the link.
Very cool. Thank you so much for doing that. And Shannon, I'm going to also put you back to full screen and have you give a shout out to your ears, right?
Yes. Wishes in Wonderland. She's done a couple ears for me. She's out in the UK, but her shipping is not too bad, but these are, I love these ears. They're made really nice. You can see a couple back there too that I have, but I have about 55, 56 ears right now. So, but these are some very simple, but they're actually really comfortable. There you go.
So perfect. I had a little web clicking error there. So Wishes in Wonderland, give them a quick shout out. And thanks.
And I'll send the link and we'll post it in the show notes on YouTube.
Sounds great. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and be sure to buy those tickets to help support Give Kids the World. Thanks and have a great day, everybody.
Have fun at the meet, guys.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.